Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
First John 4, verse 7. Beloved, I like that. Beloved. That's what God calls you. You beloved. Somebody say, I beloved. You are beloved of God. Isn't that an awesome thing? Say again, say, I beloved. Yeah, and it's by God. God loves us. That's what he calls us, beloved. That's what he calls us. That's who we are. We are beloved. So beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So to the degree that we know God will be to the degree that we walk in love. So we want to grow in love. How do we grow in love? Growing in our knowledge of God. Why? Because, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. If you want to grow in love and walk in love, then you just need to know God, because God is love. And if you love, then you know God. If you do not walk in love, you do not know God. To the degree that we do not walk in love is to the degree we're ignorant of God. Well, I don't want to be ignorant of God, because again, God is love. So if you really knew him, then you wouldn't do something contrary to him, right? If you knew God, you're not going to do something deliberately contrary to him. So the only reason why you'd be doing something contrary to God or contrary to love would be because you don't know. You don't know God, you don't know love. This is a great way to check up on ourselves, to locate ourselves, see where we're at, and hold ourselves to a high standard and recognize, hey, I'm not walking in love here. That means I really don't know God as I ought to know him. Now again, this knowing God isn't just a knowledge of God. It's not a head knowledge thing. It's a heart thing. It's a relationship with him. It's knowing him in an intimate way. So when it's talking about knowing God, it's knowing him personally, in communion with him, being close to him. It's just not having a knowledge of God. This is knowing him personally, all right? And as you know him, you know love, and so you're going to walk more in the love of God. A lot of people don't really know him. They just know about him. They know of him. And they can tell you about him. And they can share him with you from an intellectual standpoint. But they don't know him intimately, see? And this is the key thing. We got to know him intimately. And to the degree we know him intimately is to the degree that we're going to walk in love towards others. So this is a really great thing to know, because a lot of times, because we have intellectual insight, intellectual knowledge about God, many times we think we know him. Yeah, I know God, yeah. And then we start quoting scripture. Yeah, I know God. And we know him intellectually. But the proof of whether or not you know him intimately is in your love walk. So it helps keep us from self-deception. We can recognize right away whether we're walking in love or not. We might not be able to recognize right away, you know, without understanding this message. We might not be able to recognize right away that we really don't know God intimately. Because again, we can be deceived by having a knowledge of God to think that we know him personally and intimately. But by being able to check on our love walk, we can see whether or not we really know him intimately or not, or see how well we know him. And so we want to abide in him, remain close to God, stay in deep communion and fellowship with him, staying in his presence. And if we're doing that, then we're going to find ourselves abiding in love. In other words, there aren't going to be too many things that are going to knock us out of love. There are not going to be too many things that happen in life that get us out of the love of God and get us acting contrary to the love of God. And what is the love of God? Well, let's look at it over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So thankful for 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Lots of plaques have been made out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. People have plaques in their home, posters, and all kinds of things. Because it gives us insight into the love of God, what it looks like. And again, to know what love looks like is to know what God looks like, because God is love. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 4, it says, love suffers long. Love suffers long and is kind. So in other words, while it's being patient, because that's what it's talking about there, it's talking about suffering long, while it's being patient with people, it's remaining kind. Now, you know, there's a lot of folks that are suffering long, but it's not because it has to do with any of their choosing. They're just forced into a situation, they can't fix it, and they're just suffering through it. And you could tell they're suffering through it. It's all over them. They wear it well. They're agitated, they're frustrated, and they're not nice. They're not nice. So, yes, I'm suffering. Yes, I'm putting up with them. But they're not kind. So they fail the love test. Because love is suffering long, but remaining kind at the same time. Aren't you glad this is who God is? This is who he is towards us. I know some of you don't think he's had to suffer long with you. But let me just say he has. I don't have to get too involved in your personal life to know that he has. He's suffering long with all of us. Come on, somebody. He puts up with a lot of nonsense. But he does it so well, doesn't he? Doesn't he do it so well? I mean, you wouldn't know he was suffering. Would you ever know God was suffering? Have you ever felt him in your house suffering? No. Did you feel him suffering tonight? Can you feel the sufferings of Christ in the church tonight? No, you feel what? You feel good. You feel his presence, and it's good. It's good feelings. It's him loving us. Huh? It's him comforting us, giving us that warm embrace. A warm embrace while suffering. You're causing him pain. And he's still giving us a warm embrace, still being kind towards us. And what's it doing to us? It's transforming our lives. It's giving us time. How many people need time? We've needed a lot of time, right? And God has been giving us time. He's given us lots and lots of slack. Lots of slack. Given us space. Given us time to repent. Given us time to get up and get this walk right. Get these things straightened out and to walk with him and to trust in him and stop getting in doubt and unbelief about him. It's changing us. His patience is changing our lives. And that's exactly what you can do for other people. By being patient with them, suffering long, you're giving them an opportunity to get things right. We don't want to be condemning and judgmental and critical. That is not the love of God. God's love is not judgmental, critical, looking down the nose at people, looking at their faults, looking at their flaws, and just, ugh. That's not the love of God. The love of God is, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, it's believing the best. It goes on here. So love suffers long and is kind. Say, long-suffering and kindness are in my heart. It's who I am in Christ Jesus. Yeah, it's what he's put in you. He's put this in. This is really who you are. The love of God is in you. Now it's time to express that love. Get to know this God of love. Get to know this love of God that is in your heart. Get to know it. Get to know it so that you're yielding yourself to it and allowing it to flow out of your life. Because it is who you are. It is your nature to love now. If you're born again, it is your nature to love this way, to be long-suffering and kind. Verse 4 again, love does not envy. Does not envy. The Amplified Bible says, love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love never gets upset about things going good for somebody else. Love doesn't get upset about that. Even if it is someone that made themselves your enemy, someone that does you wrong and doesn't believe in you and they're competing with you, you are not going to get envious and jealous when good things come their way. You're not going to sit there and look up and get all upset. No, no, no. You're going to get excited for them. Because that's what love does. Love says, well, all right, praise God. I'm glad something good is happening to somebody. We can get excited and we can rejoice when good things happen to other people. That's what love does. Love, God, he delights in things going good for you. God gets excited. The Bible says he delights in the prosperity of his servants. He delights in your, and how much more, if his servants, how much more his sons and daughters, right? He delights in your prosperity. We need to delight in other people's prosperity. We need to look and go, whoa, man, did you see what God did for them? Hallelujah. And get excited for them. Get excited for them. Rather than, well, we should have had that. I mean, we worked here longer. We should be getting paid that much. We should have that. No, that's not love. Love is not envious. It's not jealous. Because all that is jealousy. It's just jealousy. You see somebody that's got something better than you, praise God for it. Praise God for it. Hallelujah. Verse 4 again. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. The Amplified says, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. You know, the Lord showed me that vanity is spiritual insanity. And we live in a day of excessive vanity. I think it's always been there, but social media has a way of bringing things out. Doesn't it? Huh? People are very infatuated with themselves. They're extremely impressed with themselves, and they like to let you know. I don't want to go on about that. I might get somebody mad, and that's not love. Of course, it could be the truth, and it could set you free as well. But, you know, when you look at a group photo, and you're there in the midst of 10 people, who do you stare at the most? Oh, such a great picture. You know, and they just keep staring at that one particular person in there. I didn't even say who it was, but you're laughing, so you must know exactly what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's all right. We all understand. Now, don't parade yourself. You got that? Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't parade itself. Is not puffed up. Is not puffed up. The Amplified says, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. How many people know we don't know everything? We don't know everything. So we don't want to be conceited. We don't want to just keep talking about ourselves. And we got to watch about that and just thinking about ourselves and talking about ourselves and what's going on in our lives. And we don't want to do all that because that's just getting puffed up. Love is not puffed up. We're getting away from love when we get puffed up. When we get over here in any one of these things, parading ourselves or being envious of others or being impatient with others, we're getting further and further away from love, which is who we really are. We're getting away from God. We're getting away from who we really are. And we're over here operating in just something that we're not. And that's frustrating. That's a frustrating life, to be living as someone you're not. And the real you is imprisoned on the inside. The real you is all locked up and imprisoned as something else is going on through your life that has nothing to do with you, but has everything to do with this world. And you are not of this world. Therefore, the world will not control us. Say, the world will not control me. I am in control. In the love of God. See, love puts you in control. This is powerful. I mean, long-suffering and kind, man, that's control. You got control over yourself. You got control over your life. And you can suffer long and you can be kind and nobody else is manipulating and controlling your emotions anymore. That's freedom. Huh? That's ruling and reigning. But you don't define how I'm going to act today. I'm going to act like God. I'm going to act in accordance with love. I'm going to be me. I'm going to be the real me. The me that has been born again and made in the image and likeness of love. That's who I'm going to be. Whether you treat me right or not, that's who I'm going to be. And that's a person in control. I want to live in control, don't you? And we can. We can. We can't allow ourselves to be manipulated and controlled by the world anymore. The emotions and the flesh are not going to dominate us anymore. Nobody can make my life miserable. They can't do it. You got to have that attitude. Say it. Say nobody and nothing can make my life miserable. Because I'm full of love. I am love. I am beloved. That's who I am. Yeah. So who can make you what you're not? See, we're not going to let anything make us something that we're not anymore. We're going to be who we are. This is who we are now that we've been born again. Praise God. Is not puffed up. Is not conceited. Arrogant. Inflated with pride. Does not behave rudely. Amplified Bible says, is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. So manners are important. Manners are important. It isn't just something that, you know, man came up with and said, you know, we should have manners and be say thank you and be polite and treat people with respect and you know, because this is what we should. No, this is who God is. God is mannerly. God is not rude. And why would somebody be rude? Why would they cut you off in a conversation? Because they're puffed up. Because they're thinking about themselves, right? They're putting themselves and what they have to say above what you have to say. Love doesn't do that. Isn't it amazing about God that we can go and we can pray and we can do all the talking? I'm not saying we should. But we could go in there and begin to talk and talk and talk to the one that knows everything. The ones that know very little are talking, doing all the talking to the one that knows everything. Right? And you know what? God receives it. God listens to us. He enjoys our conversation. He enjoys when we come and talk to him. Now, as we grow in love and we grow in wisdom, we start listening more to him who knows all things. And we come to hear and not just continuously talk. We want to hear God. God respects us and will listen to us and listen to us and listen to us. But a lot of times things aren't going to change until we start listening to him. Because he's got the answers. And a lot of times God will use other people to get answers to us. And if we're just doing all the talking, then we're going to miss out on a lot of things in life. We're going to miss out on learning some new things because you understand that what you have to say, you already know. So it'd be good to listen to other people because you might learn something you don't know. But again, if you're puffed up and arrogant and think you know it all, then you really don't have to listen because you already know everything they know. But that's not who we are, right? So we are not rude. We're not cutting people off and we're in a rush. And well, there's probably thousands of other people in a rush. Other people have places to go and people to see. And so love is what? It's considerate. It has manners. It's gracious. It recognizes when you do something nice for me, I recognize that. I appreciate that. And to say thank you is love, isn't it? Love would say thank you. Love would show appreciation. Love wouldn't just act like, well, everybody owes everything to me. Even in the littlest things. Wow, that you would take the time and you'd do that for me. Love sees these things. Love appreciates these things. Love isn't cutting people off. So God is mannerly. Love is mannerly. We are mannerly, therefore. And then it goes on. It says, love does not seek its own. Does not seek its own. The Amplified says, love. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It doesn't insist on getting its way. Now, we might be insisting upon God getting his way, believing, you know, for him and God having his will being done. But when we're talking about just our preferences, what we want and what we like and what we would prefer to happen, we're not going to sit here and insist and push and try to make somebody do what we want. Because that's not love. That's not love. Love will go ahead and allow the other person to get their way and not be jealous. And not be rude. And not be mean and upset about it. Isn't this powerful? This is what's in us. Now the world is just the opposite. There's a love that is of this world. But that love is selfish. It's a selfish. Natural human love is selfish. But we're talking about the love of God. Which is an unconditional love. Which is an unselfish love. It's not thinking all about itself. It cares for others. Genuinely cares about others. Genuinely is interested in other people's lives. That's the love of God that's in you and I. So we're not just yielding to natural human love. Natural human love many times can get in the way of divine love. Because we think, well, you know, I just love this person. I can't live without this person. Well, see, it's just about you. You know, these so-called love songs in the world. You know, all these love songs. They aren't love songs. They're codependency songs. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. It's about what you do for me, baby. And how you make me feel. That's what it's all about. It's the sensual self. It's the sensual self-seeking love. That's what it is. That's not love. I said it's not love. And that love, that sensual self-seeking love, a lot of folks don't realize it can turn to hatred overnight. Because if it don't get what it wants, then it could just become very ugly, impatient, not nice, right? It could be explosive, right? As passionate, somebody may love somebody, according to natural human love, can be as much they can hate that person. It can just flip right over, where they go from, I love you, to hating you. Just switch, just like that. God's love isn't that way. Because it's not about oneself. It's all about others. It's all about God. God is love. Can you say amen? Love does not seek its own. Is not provoked. The Amplified says, is not touchy or fretful or resentful. I like that. It's not provoked. It's not touchy, resentful, fretful. You know, people get so sensitive and so protective of themselves, and they get very touchy, easily irritated. Huh? It's not love. It's not God. When we see ourselves experiencing that, we are forgetting. We're forgetting God, and we're thinking more, we're becoming self-absorbed. It's so dangerous to become self-absorbed. We want to stay God-absorbed, absorbed in God, right? Just absorbing Him and absorbed by Him and focused on Him. But when we start getting distracted from Him and our minds get off of Him, then we're getting off of love. We're getting distracted from love, and then we're going to start acting unlovely. That's why we have to stay in close fellowship with God. We got to train ourselves to be in close fellowship with Him. It isn't just a knowledge of God or a knowledge about God. It's knowing Him intimately, and that's right now. Knowing Him intimately right now. Walking with Him right now. Can we walk with Him right now? Yes, and we can walk out of here with Him, and we can stay with Him. And keep Him a part of everything that we're doing in life. And if we can keep ourselves conscious and aware of Him and keep Him involved in what's going on in our lives, then we won't lose sight of Him. We won't lose sight of love and get carried away with things that are contrary to love. So we have to train ourselves. This is something to help us to be able to see where we're at and recognize there's never an excuse for justifying living contrary to love. We've gotten distracted from the Lord. So we can get right on ourselves. We've gotten distracted from the Lord. Because that's all that is. You can't make yourself be a lovable person. You are a lovable person. God made you be loved. God made you a love person. It's just staying in the light, staying close with Him, that you and I see it. And as we see it, as we see ourselves, as we really are, as we see God, as we're in His light, the light of His love, then we'll just be who we see we already are. And we won't be so touchy. Now, if you see yourself touchy, that's a time to get yourself adjusted. Don't just keep going on, right? Oh, I got distracted from Jesus. See, it helps us. It's like if you got in an airplane and some red lights started blinking, you wouldn't sit there and go, I hate these red lights, and start breaking the bulbs. Would you? I don't like that light. It's a distraction. Start breaking all the red lights. That wouldn't be smart. Would that be smart? I hate red lights. They make me feel bad about myself. These red lights make me feel like I'm not a good pilot. No, the red lights are to help you to be a good pilot. To help keep you flying like a good pilot. So these are signs to help us keep us flying with God. Walking in the Spirit. Moving with Him. We don't despise it. When you see red lights going off, you can go, oh, we got to make an adjustment here. We got to tweak this. We got to fix this. And the good news is, it is just a tweak. You're just one tweak away from perfection. That's all you are. You're just a tweak away. You're not that far gone, honey. People have a fit of rage and everything else. Yeah, but you got to understand, you're just one little tweak away from recognizing who you really are, from being who you really are, because that's who you really are. All you got to do is just recognize it and make the adjustment. Oh, I repent, Lord. Forgive me for that. Oh, Lord, I'm feeling touchy. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you for a fresh touch from you right now, Lord. And I touch you with my worship right now. And I acknowledge you right now. And we just touch God. If you touch God, you won't be touchy with people. Touch God. Reach out and touch him. Amen. Just reach out. How do you do it? Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Thank him. Worship him. Bring him into the situation. And as soon as you touch him, the touchiness is going to go. Touchiness is going to go, because now you're in touch with love, and love's not touchy. That'll save you a lot of trouble. I said, that'll save you a lot of trouble. Does not seek his own, does not provoke, thinks no evil. This is love, God's love. Thinks no evil. The Amplified Bible says, it takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Somebody does you wrong. You know what love does? Doesn't even pay attention to it. Doesn't even pay attention to it. Overlooks when people mistreat them. Overlooks when people don't treat them right. Man, that's control, isn't it? That's powerful. Again, because you're not defined by other people's behavior. Say, I'm not defined by other people's behavior. That's right. I'm defined by the Word of God. I'm defined by God. I'm defined by the love of God. That's what defines me. That's who I am. And so, people don't set us off when they do us wrong. In fact, we don't even pay attention to it. We turn the other cheek. We look the other way. We're not sitting there going, I can't believe they did that to me. I will never forgive them for this. I will not forget this. I will always hold on to this. Well, that's not God. If God did that to you, you wouldn't be here right now. You would have been disintegrated. That's not who he is. That's not what he does. He's not holding things against us. He overlooks so much. He doesn't focus on those negative things. Don't focus on the negative things. Don't focus on what people have done wrong to you. Because guess what? You're living in an unfair world with a lot of people who don't play by the rules. Lots of folks are mean. Lots of folks are selfish. Lots of folks are unloving. Come on. They're going to cut you off. They're going to mistreat you. They're going to do you wrong. They're going to betray you. And if you sit there and think about that, then they will ruin you. Why would you allow someone like that to ruin you? You got to recognize you're far above that. I'm far above that. See, because what happens is they do you wrong, and then you take it to heart and retaliate, and now what? You're just like them. You just became what they are. The very thing you despised and hated in them, you just became yourself. And thus it just spreads. It just spreads like a plague through the land. People just catching what other people have. Don't catch what they have, dear Lord. Walk through the midst of it and be a healer. Bring healing, bring deliverance. Don't let leprosy get on you. Somebody gives you some spiritual leprosy, they do you wrong, they betray you, you don't take it to heart, because if you take it to heart, you're going to reproduce it in your life, because your heart is like a garden. And you don't want to take those things in there, because it's like seed being sown into your heart, and it's going to produce all kinds of ugly, it's going to produce those ugly things that you've taken to heart. You take ugly things to heart and you're going to reap. It's like sowing it into your heart. You're going to reproduce it. You're going to bear the same fruit. Now, why would you want to do that? Dear Lord, thank God we're out of that system. We're out of the world system. Praise God, we're in the kingdom of God's love. We're in the love of God. And so now you treat me wrong, but it don't matter. I'm still going to love. I'm still going to be who I am. And then I have an opportunity by staying in love to actually bring healing and life and transformation to other people. You can't help people if you're a part of the mess. Huh? You get in there and become a part of the mess, then you're just a mess too, and you can't help them. The only way you can help people is you got to keep the mess out of you. Now, you might be walking through a mess, but you can keep the mess out of you. Come on. The mess don't have to get in you. And remember what it says over in the book of James. It says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You take it to heart. You get bitter. You get angry. You get hurt. And then you that's how you respond. Contrary to love. Contrary to God. And now you're trying to produce righteousness in somebody by freaking out on them. Ain't going to happen. Because the Bible says freaking out on somebody will not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man will not produce the righteousness of God. It won't happen. You won't be able to help them. You're a part of the mess now. And so you're in the mess. You're a part of the mess. The mess is in you. And you're just a part of helping to make more of a mess, even though you're spouting scripture. If we want to help them, they've got to keep the mess out of us. Can't be hurt. Can't be hurt. You know, people go off. I've had people go off. I remember when we first started the church. I always think of this guy, you know. We first started the church, and there was this guy, and I don't know, I think he was under conviction. He had issues with us being in the conference room at this racquetball club where we started the church. And he didn't like us being there, and it bothered him. And week after week, he showed his agitation, was becoming more and more agitated. And anyway, one day, here I come walking in. I got my Bible and read and ministered the gospel. And this guy jumps in my face and just goes off on me. Just goes off on me. I can't tell you. He just went off. And I just stood there and looked at him. And I felt so sorry for him. I felt so sorry for him. I thought, my God, he's having a bad day. But he was threatening me. You know, his words were to threaten me. Because he worked at this place, you know. But I didn't feel threatened. I felt for him. And when he was done, I just looked at him. I can't remember his name now, but I said his name. And I said, so-and-so, I said, you having a bad day? I said, what's going on in your life, man? I'm all right. And I just turned the whole thing around. And instead of being defensive about my life and everything he was coming after me about, I just took a concern for his life. And, man, it just melted him like wax. And I've done that to other people, too. People, you know, they come at you, you know, they come at you and they try to be intimidating, right? They try to be intimidated. That's only because they're intimidated. Anybody tries to be intimidating, it's only because they're intimidated. They're trying to use fear to try to get control over the situation. But I don't have to try to get control of the situation. I'm totally in control already. Why? Because I'm in love. If you're in love, you're in total control. Because love is God. And God is in total control, isn't he? So we like to say, oh, God's in control. Well, love's in control. So when you're in love, you're in control. And when you're in control, you don't have to try to get control. And you don't have to worry about trying to hang on to control because nobody can take the controls from God. God is not insecure. Love is not insecure. You, therefore, are not insecure. You are very secure. And so when somebody's lashing out and someone's attacking, we don't go, oh! No. We go and we look into them. And we see, what is going on with you? And you might be able to help. You might not be able to help. But if you stay in love, there's more of a chance of you being able to help them than if you just become a part of them, become a part of the mess. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Love is not provoked, thinks no evil, takes no account of an evil done to it, pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It's suffered for your, because of what you did, I've suffered. But they don't say that. They don't even think that. It's not going to think about that. I don't like thinking on evil, do you? We live in a world that they love thinking on evil. They go and pay money to sit and think on evil. They got satellite dishes on their roof, bringing all kinds of evil signals into their home via television. And they think on evil. I don't want to think on evil. That's a terrible place to be. I want to think on God. I want to think on love. I want to think on good things that bring peace and joy to my soul. Can you say that? Well, let's go on here. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. The Amplified Bible says it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. We never get happy when we hear of bad things. We don't enjoy hearing bad things. We're not entertained by hearing bad things. Love bears all things. Amplified says love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Praise God. It sucks it up. Doesn't fall apart and collapse and have a pity party. Huh? Love bears up under all things. Hallelujah. Praise God. Believes all things. Amplified says, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Isn't that good? You know, there's good things about people. Let's believe the best. You know, we got to watch about always being suspicious and just believing the worst. We need to be quick to believe the best. Hopes all things. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. I love that. You never lose hope. Never feel hopeless. Never get into despair. No hopelessness here. Love is full of hope. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Endures everything without weakening. Will not weaken. Just stays in there. It's got stamina. Endurance. Love's got endurance, man. Love can fight all the way to the end because love never fails. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Praise God, that's you and I. We're never going to come to an end. And that's who God is. That's who God is to us. That's who God is in us. God is love. He is all these things. This is the character and nature of God. This is the character and nature of the born-again child of God. This is who we are. Don't let anybody steal your identity from you. Don't let anybody steal your identity from you and try to make you think that you're something other than this, because this is exactly who you are. Hallelujah. And again, if all of a sudden you start doing contrary to it, well, that's just red lights going off. That's all it is. Don't get overly uptight about it. Just some red lights going off. Make some adjustments. I mean, think about a pilot. Let's go back to the pilot for a second. He's riding his plane, and all of a sudden some red lights start blinking. Now, if he's a good pilot, is he going to start freaking out? Huh? Get into hopelessness and all of a sudden, and just start panicking? I can't believe it. I can't believe these lights are going off. I can't believe our wind speed. I can't believe our altitude. I can't believe. No, he don't do that. He just starts tweaking it. He's got confidence that we're going to get this thing to where it needs to go. And we're going to get to our destination. We're not going to crash. We're going to have a nice, smooth flight. Even with red lights blinking, we're still going to have a smooth flight, and we're going to get to our destination. We never quit. We never give up. We just stay in there, and ooh, that's touchy. That's pretty prideful. That's a little vanity. Come on. You can do better than that, Davey. Come on. And we just steady the plane. Huh? We just steady as she goes. Praise the Lord. Keep making those adjustments. You hit some air pockets up there. Don't despair. Just tweak it. It's not a crash landing. Just because you had a little bit of a meltdown, that doesn't mean you crashed. Just means you had a little bit of a meltdown. But thank God you can fix the thing. Turn the air conditioner on. Right? If it gets too hot, hot in the car, just turn the air conditioner on. Don't sit there and go, "It's so hot, it's so hot." Stop complaining about how hot it is. Just put the air conditioner on. Stop complaining about yourself. Stop beating up on yourself. Stop getting mad at yourself when you see yourself do contrary to this. And recognize now that you have this in you now to be able to identify areas of weakness so that you can simply tweak the thing and just keep right on moving. And you can just keep right on going and laughing at the devil. Hallelujah. I mean, laugh the loudest, praise God, right after your lights blinked. What do you mean? Right after you had a flesh fit. Right after you got out of love. You forgot about love. Right after you get out of love, tweak it and then laugh at the devil and say, "Well, devil, I'm back again." Because that frustrates him more than anything. You understand that. That when you mess up, he goes to all this work, he gets you seething, he gets you to pop like Jack out of the box, and you lose it. And then, you come to your senses, you repent, you make an adjustment, and now you're stronger than you were before. You know how frustrating that is to the devil? When you can turn your negative situations into a positive and make everything the devil do backfire on him so that he regrets it. I love that. Hallelujah. So have fun. Praise the Lord. Have fun walking in, growing in the love of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet. Let's thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.